On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
A very, very hearty welcome on this rather rainy Gauteng afternoon. You are listening to Professor David Black, and our broadcast every week is entitled Looking Up with David Black. And I think that's just awesome that in your domain and mine, as we walk the streets of Gauteng, as we may walk the streets of Chicago, wherever this global stream might find you today, there's a need in our hearts, in our minds, in our beings, in our spirits, to look up. Somehow, so many people are deflated. I remember looking at a Facebook page just 2 days ago, and this young girl said, "But I feel just so deflated." And that's why I come along every Tuesday to encourage you to look up from a scientific perspective, from the perspective of the big, the macrocosm, to the perspective of your world and my world on terra firma, planet Earth, the microcosm. And every week is different. Every week, you know, last week was time and the grandeur of time and the splendor of time and the awesomeness of time and the mask of time. But of course, I know very well, as a professor in the field of mathematics and applied mathematics, that music is terribly important to how we feel. Somehow music encapsulates how we feel. It almost, in a sense, I suppose, determines our very moods, how we are feeling. Somehow I see sitting next to our producer, Palesa, is someone bopping up and down, obviously highly excited with the music, and she's like on a little ball bopping up and down. In accordance with Newton's third law, Duncan, and who's my audio engineer this afternoon. And so I thought we'd concentrate this week on the world of music. But before I do that, allow me to give you some contact details so that you can reach us live here in the Cliff Central studios in Rivonia in Johannesburg. To reach us in studio, you simply dial 0861-555-189. Allow me to repeat. You dial 0861, then 555, then 189. The Twitter handle is at cliffcentral.com, Instagram Cliff Central, Facebook Cliff Central, and the WeChat ID is Cliff Central. Should you wish to follow me on Twitter, I have a handle too, and my handle is at Starry Galaxy Man. That's at Starry Galaxy Man, one word. And if you want to follow me on my webpage, it's www.davidblock, one word, davidblock.co.za. I have known our guest, Simon Hodgson, in studio, who's in studio today with us. I won't say live in studio with us because I never interview someone who's dead in studio. So I think it's very important to drop the word live because it's rather obvious to my logic that he must be live and he's not lying at FBOB. And so my guest today is a very dear friend of my wife and I over many years. And his name is Simon Hodgson. A very, 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 three verys warm welcome to you, Simon.
Thank you so much, David, and I'm excited to be here and very much alive, thankfully.
I can hear that there's a joie de vivre, there's a buzz, there's a life, there's a joy and a determination. So, Simon, of course, you are the founder of Love SA Music, and we'll be delving into that at great length. And I just think it's awesome how music shapes your life and mine to a very real extent. But the other day, I had the privilege of being on Facebook. I'm not often on Facebook, but when my schedule allows, I am. And I saw some incredible photographs of your wedding. If you want to see wedding pictures where there's romance impregnated in the air. You need to look at Simon Hodgson's wedding pictures. But Simon, for all our listeners, please just tell me about your darling wife and your kids.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, those wedding photos are unbelievably 9 years old now, so I'm looking a little bit older than I did in those, I think. My wife obviously is looking better. But yeah, so been married for 9 years.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and we've got a 3-year-old son, Matthew, and a 1-year-old daughter, Emily. So yes. Just a wonderful little family, yeah.
Yes. And does music play, I mean, for example, do you enjoy silence, or do you find it's very important that, you know, our twin boys, age 16, Simon, when they're in the toilet, they need their tablet with them to play music while they're passing stools, which I've never quite understood. But I like to rather be in the toilet in silence. Do you need music all the time in your home, in your lounge, in your car, in an aircraft? Or do you like a balance between music and silence?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the way to put it, a balance. People normally laugh at me when I say I do listen to talk stations as well as music stations. But yeah, I mean, music is an important part of our lives. You just have to think how you felt listening to that new music from Jimmy Nevis as we came in. It brings some life out, you know. But at the same time, you know, silence is a good thing to build into your life, I think.
What sort of balance would you recommend? In other words, one of the things which really disturbs me is that some people need music all the time. In other words, they can't think or have a glass of water without music. You know, I've always told my students at WITS, where I lecture 250 students each day, I tell them, Simon, that you need time. When you're doing applied math, certainly, you need time to chill. So you chill with music, but then you also need time to think, to be. Would you agree with me?
Well, yeah, I don't know about the science, you do, but it's interesting because there's that whole thing of playing classical music to your unborn child while you're pregnant. So there must be something behind it, and so who knows? I mean, you're the scientist, Professor.
Well, this is true, and I do know that the harmonics of Bach and the octaves and the fugues and so forth simply engender within one's psyche, and even within the psyche of a newborn child, as you so beautifully say, that sense of calmness, of peace. Now, Simon, you are the founder of Love SA Music, and I just think that there's certain words that strike me as so important. First of all, to love the music, but then not to love USA music or love Parisian music, as good as those might be, but to love the music generated from the very shores of the vibrant South Africa. I'd love you to paint, as it were, with an artist's brush, to give us a bit of the history. How did you come to start this Love SA Music? What is Love SA Music? Give us a scenario, as if painted by Van Gogh, of how this dream actually started, and feel free to start right at the beginning. Go.
Wow. Okay. A love for music, I think, I had from a very young age, brought up to appreciate music and to love music, and then I became a musician myself, as did other siblings in my family, some who went on to pursue that full time, and so I think there's been a natural appreciation and love for music in general from the beginning. Later on, being exposed to much of the South African music scene, I started picking up on just on the scene in general and the industry around it, and developed a passion for local music and the local music industry, and just seeing how it's been growing. It was at that point that I, just for fun, started up a Facebook page, Love SA Music, which had enormous traction straight away, especially from the media. And so I picked up, it was at a time 3 years ago where there seemed to be a sudden growth spurt within the local music industry. And then we went onto Twitter, and eventually it became a fully fledged website. And that really exists still to this day to promote our amazing local musicians and the industry as a whole, and highlight what is going on. And then about a year ago, we added a new element to Love SA Music, and that is our live shows. So
tell us about those.
Yeah, we wanted to just get ourselves more involved and get a little bit deeper down into the industry and participate in it. And so we started finding out who some of the most current popular artists at the moment are, plus who are some of the really promising up-and-comers, and giving them platforms and opportunities to play. And I must say, it's been the most fun part of Love SA Music, is putting on these live shows, getting people who deeply appreciate local music, discovering new talent that we have seen blossom. And so that is the most fun part that I've been having with this.
So, Simon, would this encompass all brands of SA music? In other words, from bands to people like Hugh Masekela's music, you know, some of the giants, the singers, the jazz, the bands, because SA music has a very, very broad spectrum. Does it encompass everyone within the realm or the umbrella of music in South Africa?
Yeah, over the years we have profiled a wide variety of different genres of music, and you know, I don't think I've ever turned down anyone who's come to us looking for a platform. But there has been a natural bias, I think, with the audience that I've grown to the rock slash pop genres in general, and that's kind of where we've positioned our live shows at the moment.
And how is South Africa generally doing? I mean, what is the state of the local music industry? Because specifically, I'd think of the music industry, for example, in famous places like Hollywood, like in New York, as in Canada, one thinks of Justin Bieber and just so many others. What, you know, here we are on the very tip of the African continent. And, you know, I suppose starting with Mr. Mandela and many others, but of course he led the way in 1994, you know, South Africa became a world focus, which is awesome. And that's why I'm still here, is my beloved student. So here is, there's this focus on South Africa. But if you had to, you know, on a scale of 0 to 10 in the international playing field, you know, let's say being at a 9 or a 10 in general, not exclusively so, how are we doing? What is the state of the industry and the music industry within the, you know, encompassed by the shores of the Grand South Africa?
I really do believe that it's at one of the most exciting places that it's ever been. I think at, from what I can see, looking over the history of local music, it's had its kind of waves. And right now, I do think that it's definitely at one of its most exciting times. It's probably at the time in our history that is experiencing the most change, and that's internationally as well as locally. Lots of change. But I think it's at a very exciting point. I think there's, over the past couple of years, been some extraordinary talents being found. And so it, besides being a musician or an artist, there's also great scope in the industry for others. So from you know, things like producers to event organizers and promoters and venues and everything that goes along with a musician's success seems to be lifting, which is exciting. There is challenges. So you know, you look around and you find the music shop that you've always loved on in the mall or on the corner suddenly isn't there anymore. And, you know, you're finding albums that have been sitting on shelves for years and years, been trying to be shifted for R2. And that's, you know, that's a difficult part of where the industry is at the moment. And we can talk more about how technology has started to play a role. But I think we're at that stage where perceptions and feelings have to change. And I think we're at a time locally where local musicians are able to start making successes of themselves without what they used to think they need in terms of great a great record deal or great management. A lot of stuff can now be done without that. So there's some significant changes, I think, right now.
Now, Simon, as you know, I was born in Krugersdorp, Mohale City, and I just like to sort of go back to the years in which I grew up And certainly then, you know, for example, we had the Beach Boys and many international bands, but the state of the local music industry was thriving. I mean, I think of the music coming from the then Sophia Town that was jazz at its very, very best. Are we able to? Yes, there we go. I just think that there we
instantly go. Instantly recognizable, even after all these years.
I mean, there we go. Duncan's beautiful. Just doing it for me. That is just, it's South Africa.
And it lifts your mood, right?
It lifts your mood. Give it to me, Simon.
Yeah.
I mean, it just does it. I mean, I want to jump on the chairs. I'm just so excited. I mean, my chemistry, Duncan, has suddenly changed. And I'm rocking. So, you see, this is it. This was it. That when I grew up, Sophia Town and the music therefrom was just awesome, awesome, awesome. Three awesomes. But it was impossible to, to really promote this on a global stage.
Yeah.
Given, you know, that you and I can wish someone, you know, a happy birthday in the Antarctic or the Arctic. You know, Simon, I happened to be at 70 degrees north recently, and we could communicate. I could communicate to, you know, my researchers across the world by means of technology, phones, computers, and so on. That surely has helped the local music industry tremendously. Can you sort of, you know, take us back to the days of traditional radio and the days of traditional going to your store and buying your records, as it were, long before the CDs? Mm. And now, of course, there's been a huge change of technology, which I need not really elaborate on, but I know technology has affected my area, you know, of astronomy just in the most dramatic way. How has technology really affected your area of music?
Tremendously, in many different ways. The one obvious way is that musicians and bands have had to suddenly not rely on album sales, because you and I both know that whatever music we want to find, we're going to be able to find. And there are many legal ways to find music for relatively inexpensive. And on iTunes, you can purchase one track at a time instead of an album. Mm-hmm. And so the whole notion of having to put a whole album together, which in many ways is also sad because that is a total expression of someone's creativity. Mm-hmm. Cannot be relied upon anymore. Mm-hmm. An artist certainly cannot rely on CD sales or album sales to make their money anymore. Mm-hmm. So technology's played a major part there, and bands really need to get on board and get on the front foot in using technology. There's bands such as what Desmond and the Tutus did with their latest album. Mm-hmm. Is actually only released one track at a time online. So every time a new track comes out, it gets the same relative amount of attention. But you're not going to be able to get that CD in your hand. You're going to have to go and get that online. And bands are going that way, and they're going to need to go that way. Outside of that, social media has played a significant role.
Tell us about that.
For everyone and for musicians. Mm-hmm. So social media has brought an artist or a musician exponentially closer to their fans than they've ever been before. Mm-hmm. So fans now have direct access through Twitter and so on to their favorite artist. And that can be, that has its pros and cons as well. Mm-hmm. In fact, what I'm going to post on lovesamusic.co.za after the show is Gangs of Ballet was the first South African band ever to release a music video exclusively on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They've broken new ground, and that's
awesome.
That's creative, and that's using technology, and so they've released a music video exclusively on Twitter. And bands, I think, you see the ones that are good at social media, and you see the ones that truly are not. Mm-hmm. I think that it is very easy for a fan to see if their favorite artist is the one behind the tweets or if it is not. And I really do believe that bands and musicians, in order to gain maximum favor from their fans, need to be personally connected on social media.
That's very interesting because, of course, when I think of this, Simon, you're listening to Professor David Block. I have the great privilege of interviewing Simon Hodgson, the founder of Love SA Music. You can reach us in studio on 0861-555-189. The Twitter handle is at cliffcentral.com. Instagram, Facebook, and WeChat ID are all three at Cliff Central. But of course, with music, Simon, there's always the celebrity status. And, I mean, just in, and not so much in my area of astronomy, but certainly in the area of music and corporate speaking, you get your sort of celebrity status people. And I suppose that those people, by and large, would be totally inaccessible. They would have people, as it were, generating their tweets for them. Is that true?
Yeah, you do definitely find certain members of the music industry having their content created for them. And I think that there can be a balance. I mean, I think that from a logistical point of view, sometimes that's necessary to have some management behind what's going out. And you definitely need some advice on on what you're throwing out there. But I think fans, you know, things have changed. I think celebrity,
things have changed, yes.
Celebrity culture has changed, and I think fans aren't stupid. They can see through these things, and they're looking for authentic relationship with their favorite artist.
Now, of course, things have changed so much. I mean, I think of the days of the record player, and then I think of the days I grew up in, Simon, of the CDs and so forth, and then, of course, the DVDs. But it's so sad for me, in a sense, to walk past one music shop after another here and in Australia and see them closing down. In other words, everything is available simply online. But with this online availability also comes a total disrespect or disregard for copyright. I know with my own talk, Simon, copyright never seems to be an issue with some people, although to academics it's the most serious of infringements. If I ever were to plagiarize anyone else's talk, I would be summarily disciplined and dismissed as an academic. Is if someone took one of my ideas, or if I took their ideas rather, and didn't acknowledge the sources, and generated, and this has happened in my domain, a paper which I claim to be mine or my idea, and it's not, I'd be summarily disciplined, as I say, and dismissed. Now, of course, plagiarism and piracy, you know, even on our streets, is a huge, huge problem. And there's a question before us, you know, what is the best way that you, Simon, can suggest as the founder of Love SA Music to curb piracy? And then secondly, will piracy ever come to an end?
Yeah, it definitely is a tough subject within music, because on the one hand, as an artist, you need to get your music out there anyway. The fact that it's out there and the fact that people might be stealing it is, you know, that's one thing, but at least the music's getting out there. And a band and artist knows these days that that's not where they're going to make their money anyway. Their money has to be made on live shows, primarily on touring. So I don't personally think that piracy is ever going to come to a specific end. I think that it's sad, and it disrespects the creativity of a band or artist. So, I mean, bands do get creative. Short Straw, what they did last year ahead of the release of their brand new album, is released, that you can go and listen to their tracks for a limited time for free, and then that was pre the launch of the album, and then once you had the opportunity to listen, it gave you the opportunity to buy. So that's been creative, and that's you know, trying to work around it, but yeah, it remains with us, and I think it's changed the industry probably for the negative.
Simon, we are just going to take a short break in a second. You are listening to Professor David Block. I'm interviewing. I have the great joy of interviewing Simon Hodgson, the founder of Love SA Music. You can reach us live in studio on 0861-555-189. We welcome your calls. We welcome your tweets. Reach us at cliffcentral.com on Instagram. If you really enjoy using Instagram, use the Cliff Central link. On Facebook, Cliff Central. The WeChat ID, Cliff Central. Now, we're going to play a special little cut. I know our audio engineer, Duncan, has got this ready. And this cut is dedicated to my twin boys. Our twin boys, Nathaniel Block and Tevye Block, named by Nelson Mandela. And I want to dedicate it because I know they are listening as we speak. Jump rock to the following. So you are listening to Professor David Block, and I'm just enjoying today's broadcast so much because global streaming so much, because it's on the cutting edge of technology, Gareth Cliffe's dream to unstream, uncensor, and unradio. I'm ably assisted by our audio engineer, Duncan, who's seated to my right. And seated opposite me is our dear friend and guest, the founder of Love SA Music, Simon Hodgson. Another question we've had, Simon, is this. Professor, if you compare the Billboard Top 40 songs for the past 20 years, you will find something interesting. And what you will find is that the length of the music has become shorter. The length of the music has become shorter, and the lyrics have become less meaningful, and the messages are being put out there, have no real deep significance or importance. Your comments, please.
Yep, very astute observation. And I think on the whole that is true. I know that research was done recently about the average length of a song that people actually pay attention to. In other words, before switching to another radio station or tuning out, mm-hmm. Which if I recall correctly is in the region of only 2 minutes. Uh-huh. So I think people are getting a shorter and shorter attention span. And I think that's also got to do with just the culture that we're in and the instant gratification type of culture that exists, with tweets only being allowed to be 160 characters and so on.
Right.
People's attention spans are shorter. And in terms of the depth of the lyrics, I think it's
worrying, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking back to some of those songs from growing up that for me, it was Counting Crows. And, those are kind of classics that you always remember, and they're just like those amazing songs that will always be with
absolutely.
Us.
Yes, absolutely.
And yeah, there does tend to appear to be a bit of a shallowness, which could just reflect the culture, I think.
But doesn't it also reflect, Simon, the brain cells or the activity or non-activity of our neurophysiological processes? Because there are certain songs when I listen to on radio, for example, in the car, which don't really carry any sense. They've got a beat, but they're not really, I don't know, the Beach Boy days to me, perhaps I'm old-fashioned, but they seem to at least carry a sense of excitement of human life and excitement of surfing, and no swearing was needed, and it seemed to carry me, I don't know, as a teenager into a realm just of good, clean fun.
Yeah,
I'm not always sure that's happening today. Is that true with the lyrics?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to, some artists choose to go the route of this is their art, and they'll express their creativity no matter what. And then you get artists who actually just write for radio because the primary objective is to get something that's going to work for them on radio. And so I guess any artist is going to face this balancing act. They're going to have to eventually just choose either they're a very serious artist who wants to create their own music no matter what, and then those who are forging a career and need to also appeal to a certain degree of the masses.
Mm-hmm. There's a question here to you, a thought to you, from Nathaniel Block, one of our 16-year-old twins who's following us live on air and live on the global stream, Cliff Central. And he says, he would like to add, and he'd like your thoughts, Nathaniel Wood, that a lot of people these days concentrate on the beat. And if the beat is catchy, people will just like it more and they'll rock.
Mm.
And he'd like your comments on that point. And then his second point is DJs nowadays are huge, and so words, perhaps, are not important to some people anymore. So two questions there, the one on the beat and the one on DJs.
Mm.
Thank you, Nathaniel.
Thank you, Nathaniel. Hello. I think the two questions basically lead into each other, in that DJ culture has grown just as much as the general music culture has grown, which is wonderful. I think that the growth of both of those sides of the industry is very positive and has been great. And I think really it comes down to just personal preference. So a beat will certainly appeal to, you know, many, many people.
Yes.
Regardless of, you know, you probably won't even hear what's happening behind that beat in terms of lyrics and so on. Sometimes there aren't even lyrics. So I'm just going to say that it's a matter of a person's personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm personally excited about the growth of the DJ industry
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, talking about beats, I can't resist but ask Duncan to play something with a real Sophia Town vibe with good. Mm. There we go. Simon, good, good, good. Vibe and beat. Well, even my toes have been rocking, Simon, just vibrating, and my whole being, that can only happen in South Africa, surely.
That's so true.
I mean, there's just something just so local, isn't there? So ethnic about ethnic music. Yeah, for Professor's toes to be resonating and moving up and down in studio, something good must be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Simon, please tell us, you know, I remember growing up, of course, and here I'm giving my age away, in the years of great festivals like the Beatles. They would have these huge festivals, and even the hippies, of course, they'd have their own, gargantuan festivals. But is there a rise? I mean, this is really outside my domain of expertise. Is there a rise? Can you take us through talking about the rise of festival celebrations in our country, South Africa?
Yeah, that is something that I've noticed and that I'm loving, is that there certainly has been a rise in the prominence of really excellent music festivals. So Opi Kopi celebrated, along with the rest of the country, their 20th festival last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the biggest, I suppose, and most well-known. But over the years, new festivals have been emerging that have just been awesome. So there's things like Rock in the Daisies and Up the Creek. And then just in the past few years, a small local festival called Mo Rocks out at the Cradle of Humankind has started emerging, an unpretentious, what I feel is just a real down-to-earth festival that has come through. And this past New Year's Eve, a brand new festival outside of Cape Town called Electric Vines took place on a wine farm, which was apparently a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I think is giving way for this is, the sudden lack of good quality music venues. So we've seen our music venues, specifically here in Johannesburg, closing down all over the place and leaving bands with a question mark of where we're going to play, where we're going to tour, and that really is the lifeblood of any local band.
Why are they closing down, Simon?
It's such a good question, and something that that's a question I ask many of the bands I interview. I'm keen to find out why. And I just really don't know. There's a couple that are really excellent, but a band can only play so many times per month at the same venue mm-hmm. Because of the audience that they need to attract.
Mm-hmm.
What it has given way to is new creativity in terms of where to play. So you have to step outside of your normal club setting and think, where can I create an event around my show? Mm-hmm. What can I use that is different?
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I think these festivals have just picked up a new momentum. Aside from that, I think there's something about South Africa and being outside, being outdoors.
Mm, very good. I love that thought.
Yeah. I mean, for me and my family, you know, I want to see my favorite band outside where we can all be together. It's not in a dingy club. And you can enjoy the outdoors and the music at the same time. So shows that happen in parks and in the gardens, Kirstenbosch and
mm-hmm.
and botanical gardens
mm-hmm.
here,
mm-hmm.
They're just wonderful experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think
they are, and their family too.
For the family as well. So I think the venue situation has made way for bands to really get creative and even create events just around themselves, you know, around what they would like to put out as an experience for their fans who want to come and see them.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I just love that, the family experience. I mean, I think that was the case in Sophia Town, wasn't it, Duncan? Is that it was a family, it was coming together, it was enjoying the vibe together, and more thoughts and questions are coming to me on my mobile. And please ask Simon Hodgson the following, again, interestingly enough, from Nathaniel. And he says here, you know, Simon, being a musician yourself and starting your company, Love SA Music, what do you think will happen to the future of music in terms, what do you personally think will be popular in, say, 10 or 20 years' time?
That's a difficult one predict, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says, he elaborates, like when you were young, you would never have thought that rap and hip-hop would become so popular. And people, of course, didn't think that certain genres would come back. And now people like Matthew Mole are bringing back indie, you know, music, which is just so different and so different from the past and so on. And I suppose I never thought that I'd watch television and, you know, see these guys, you know, rapping and hip-hop and so on. So to predict the future is just so difficult, just like in astronomy. But your thoughts, Simon?
Yeah, I think it is difficult to predict. And there's obviously the local, at the moment, there's the popular indie folk is quite prominent.
Yes.
Which you wouldn't have been able to predict a few years ago.
Yes, that's what Nathaniel is saying.
Yeah, and it makes way for new artists that you would never have imagined to come through. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's harder. There are the certain solid genres which seem to stick, like rock, which seem to, you know, I think there's a few big categories that stick. But I think it's exciting. I mean, you don't know what's, you know, even in 5 years from now, who you're going to be listening to and what you're going to be enjoying.
It's true.
That's the joy of it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it's much like romance. You know, I think of it again, you must tell me how people can watch, view those incredible photos of your wedding photographs with dear Taryn, because to me there's that romance and it develops and it's just like a romance for music. But I'd like contact details for Love SA Music. I'd like a Twitter handle. I'd like you to tell listeners about your webpage. I'd like listeners to be able to find those incredible wedding pictures.
Great. Well, my wedding pictures aren't on my Love SA Music page, but
no, hopefully not. But tell me where. I mean, I saw them the other day and I thought, you know, I thought to myself, if ever there's love, it's depicted in these photographs. There was love. You were just gently caressing Taryn, but not too much, not too little. She was giving you a tiny peck. It wasn't a very deep peck, Duncan. It was just a tiny peck. And there was a degree of suspense, the enigma, the majesty of the moment. That's why I'm telling the world, look at these pictures.
I do hope to listening to that. That was well explained. My Love SA Music is, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yes.
And all of those are at Love SA Music.
Okay.
And then the website is easy. It's lovesamusic.co.za.
Okay. And the pictures. They'd have to go to your Facebook page.
Yeah, I suppose if you invite Simon Hodgson, me as a friend,
you'd have to invite Simon as a friend, but not too many friends.
Yeah, you'll find it there.
But that's just awesome. So, Simon, we're just rocking around the clock, as it were. And, you know, the question really is, I suppose, Simon, is that, is it possible? And after this question, we will have a short music break again. Some of the great vibes from our country. Professor David Block interviewing Simon Hodgson. What a great guest today, filled with vibrance and rocking around the clock with Simon Hodgson, the founder of Love SA Music. And it helps me in a very real sense also to look up today. See, music does it for the professor. Music really does it. But of course, I understand that, you know, for example, doing sound at a church might not be full time, or, you know, playing at certain events might just be a pastime, but not a full time, a salary to support your wife, your children, private schools, or whatsoever. Simon, is it possible for bands who are good, of course, to actually do this as a full-time calling and earning not the salaries of Hollywood, but a salary large enough to make it worthwhile to do full-time.
Yeah, I really do believe that it is. And that's my encouragement to those trying to get into the music industry, both as artists, but also those who are in the support realms of the industry. Like I said, there's just been so much growth all around in the industry that there's just opportunities all over the place for people to get themselves involved. And I really do believe that as an artist in this country, that can be what you do full time. Mm. And so oftentimes I just find a perception and a kind of a musician just giving up and thinking that it will never happen. But there have been certainly have been examples of musicians who, it comes down to choosing, is this what you want to do with your life?
Right.
And going for that. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it takes sacrifice and it takes tough decisions. Mm. But I think you do get to a point as a band, or an artist, that you've got to make that decision. Mm-hmm. What are you going to leave behind, and what are you going to actually give the rest mm-hmm. of your life to? And there are most certainly examples locally of mm-hmm. musicians who are able to do that.
Mm. Now, of course, Simon, you probably would know this, but I don't spend a huge amount of time in front of the television, but there are many young people who do. And many people who do. Now, of course, there are many famous shows on television. One thinks of shows, for example, in the States and elsewhere in Britain, where it's sort of almost like an Idol-type experience, talent shows and so forth. And, you know, I often think that people watch me, for example, in the realm of my field of expertise, and they think, wow, it's just, you know, applied maths is just fun. It's just so easy, until they actually try and do it themselves. And then it becomes a totally different story. In other words, they suck at it. Mm. They really suck at it. I mean, even people who suck at applied maths would say those people really suck at it. So, you know, there's some people who think they're very good, for example, at singing, but they cause me to vomit and to rush for Valoid. You know, even Gareth's face just freezes and, you know, I can see diarrhea developing in his psyche. Do these shows do any good for the local populace? Because let's be honest, very, very few actually really become that famous in terms of, you know, God-given talent.
Sure. Yeah. And Mr. Cliff Center himself, I'm sure Gareth has his opinion on this as well. We actually did an investigative piece on our blog a little while ago mm-hmm. when Idols went on to their season 10, just to look back and see what happened to these contestants and how many of them have made it in the industry and how many haven't. And it's not just Idols. It's also shows like SA's Got Talent and so on. And, you know, there are artists who've been able to make it for themselves. There's those who took that opportunity mm-hmm. That was presented to them on these massive platforms and made a career out of it. So for me, locally, Heinz Winkler stands out as someone. He was our very first idol. Yes. And all these years later, he still managed to carve a solid place for himself in the industry. Mm-hmm. Him and Elvis Blue were both very clever in crossing over into a different market, the Afrikaans market.
I know. Weren't they incredible?
So I think that's mm-hmm. a good one. And then there were those that just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
yes, many just of like them. My students who might just think they're going to be budding professors of relativity, you know, to outdo Albert Einstein, and they just disappear. Yep. Is that happening in the music realm, Simon?
So the problem that I have with some of these shows is I think it creates too much of a immediate hype around the moment. Mm-hmm. The platforms are just massive. They get mm-hmm. these outstanding fan bases.
Ovations and so on.
And so on. And it's all coming at them. And mm-hmm. then they've got to step out of that into a real world of working in the industry, you know, playing in half-empty clubs where nobody's actually caring that they're there. And so I kind of think it's in many ways the wrong way around. I think it would be better for a musician who has been carving a place for himself for a number of years to then get something like the opportunity that these shows give and then continue or put in place a really solid mentorship system within them. But I think that sudden fame that nobody has prepared them for can be detrimental. On the other hand, there are those that have taken, you know, and I think those are the serious ones who took that opportunity and went forward with it.
Simon, percentage-wise, I mean, if we were to take the idols, for example, or, you know, a show overseas, and percentage-wise, would you say relatively few can actually cope with that sudden sense of fame, celebrity status? If you're a guy, people just falling at your feet, as it were, guys and girls, and just almost worshipping you as an idol. I remember that Carl himself had great transitional challenges to make. What percentage of people, very few, can actually cope with sudden celebrity status? Is it like that in your field as well?
Yeah. Speaking in the local field, I don't think that the majority of them do. So that's really where my issue lies with it, is what happens when that person steps off the show.
Yes.
And the show wraps up and continues with whatever else they've got to do, but the artist is left there.
Yes, I know.
And so, even, I mean, outside of shows like that, some of our local artists have shot to extraordinary fame through a debut album or whatever the case might be. Who is there helping them through that process of the sudden love and adoration of thousands?
Coping with any celebrity status, coping with any high-profile status in the public, is something which I think Nelson Mandela just did so well, is that he remained so accessible, so humble. He named our twin boys. We had tea with him. Katie Katapodis was with us. And it was just awesome just to sit down and understand that here was a man almost worshipped around the world, and yet he had time for everyone. He never became arrogant. He was just the Mr. Mandela, the Nelson Mandela we all knew. And I think that's a great encouragement to follow should one ever wish to enter any sort of domain where fake fame or temporary fame may be at stake. Now, you are listening to Simon Hodgson, the founder of Love SA Music. This is Professor David Block, and we have got 5 minutes to wrap up now. So just between this and the last question to Simon, we're going to be asking Duncan, our audio engineer, to put us again in some really good rockin' mood. Well, Simon, you know, I have to ask you this question, interviewing Simon Hodgson, founder of Love SA Music. Have we lost us? I mean, here I am rocking. I don't know what it is, but it gets me going. Have we lost the sort of, you know, that's how I grew up. How have we lost this, Simon?
Yeah. It's kind of, you feel like you should be in the streets, and it's like
that's
everybody's
right.
gathered.
Yes.
Yeah, there's it.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a,
yes.
It reminds me of being at the Cliff Central Rock's Christmas last year. And Soweto Gospel Choir came out. I mean, there's something about it. It lifts it to another level. And I can't imagine anybody sitting and not absolutely loving this. In fact, I'm just looking on my Twitter. I've just got followed by a local band called Rubber Duck.
Yes.
So shout out to them if they've been listening.
Wow.
But I love here it says, their description is folk hop, folk swing trio. Guess what? We got a little brass.
Wow.
And, you know, it just reminds
you. Awesome.
I think there might be something coming back, just adding something different to your standard, you know, your standard band. And, but, I mean, this does make you want to get up and dance, I know.
Well, there you have Simon Hodgson, the founder of Love SA Music. And you, if you are an inspired young band, a group of people, and you are born with a dream, born with a vision, and you would like your band to be exposed locally, contact Simon Hodgson. You've got all his contact details already. You can tweet him, Love SA Music. You can follow him on Facebook. But Simon, it's been a singular joy talking to you today, delving into the world of something which helps me to look up on a moment-by-moment basis. In the last sort of 30 seconds, and that's all we have before we wrap up with music, anything exciting to look out for this year?
Yeah, there's so much happening as we continue to grow, but some of the bands and artists that I think are worthy of looking out for this year include... Matthew Moll's under a lot of pressure. He's coming out with his second album. Now, he did extraordinarily well with that first album. He's back with his second album, so a lot to live up to. I'd look out for Matthew Moll. There's an artist coming through called Majosi, who I've got my eyes on this year. Some of the well-knowns, like the Polytones and Prime Circle and stuff, are making a good comeback. And, yep, there's a whole lot. Jeremy Loops, Howie Combrink, there's too many to mention.
Excellent. Simon, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being on Live with Us, Not Dead, on Cliff Central. Professor David Block signing out with some incredible vibe. Thank you so much.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.